Guys love humor. I love humor. Since I was a kid, I have loved comedy and had this dream that I would someday be able to make people laugh. Someday. But as we get older, we laugh less. A lot less. And if the pandemic was successful at anything, it was successful at sucking the humor out of the room. So in this episode, Robbie and I get serious about humor. We talk about some statistics, because nothing makes someone laugh like math, and how men are even expected to be more humorous than women. But we don't stop there. We actually talk about some easy ways for you to work on being a little more funny. Who knows, there might be a sleeping Seinfeld hibernating deep in your heart. You're listening to the Man They Remember podcast, where we're encouraging men to be the kind of man people will remember when we're gone. We're tearing down the macho man stereotype one episode at a time. Go to mantheyremember.com for more information. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back.
I was waiting for that. I'm like, you didn't start with it, but I'm sure it's going to be somewhere.
Yeah. I'm still not satisfied with it, but I'll have to find something.
That's all right. Something fun. Give it 100 episodes. We'll have something new.
Right. By 100, you just kind of settle into whatever you've been doing, and that becomes the line, and you just don't even think about it anymore. Yeah. I think this is episode 36, I think. Girls are several ahead of us. They've done so much better at being consistent and regular. They've got more than 1,000 downloads. We don't have 1,000 downloads yet, but so
it's all right.
Girls are just kicking our like tush, I guess would be the right kicking our behind.
Tookus. Yeah. I've always liked tookus.
Tookus.
Just because it's such a bizarre word. It's just a great throwback. You know, when we're a little bit more creative with the words we used.
Yeah, not just utilitarian. I like words. I like learning new words. I especially like learning new words to the point where they just become a normal part of my vocabulary. Because then
that's kind of the point.
It's a useful word.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. It's nice to hear that, because there's some podcasts to listen to where I have no idea what the words mean, but a lot of times they will talk about it because someone will be like, I've never even heard that before. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
I think that's where I got atrocious from, just hearing them say that so much. I'm like, that's a great one. It's just good.
It's funny. Some people will have a word like that, and it's a rarely used word, but they use it in abundance to like balance the equilibrium across the species. Like, 95% of people never use that word, but this one guy uses it enough for all the other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So... So today we're going to talk about humor. Mm-hmm. So Robbie and I were talking the other night about humor and how easy it is to not laugh and how important humor is. I want to share a few little statistics from you. We've come through a pandemic. We literally just came out of it here in Washington State, because Saturday was the end of the mask mandate. So now we don't have, we're not supposed to wear masks everywhere. We're allowed, it's acceptable for us to not wear masks. So it kind of feels like this is the first moment in 2 years where the pandemic is over.
We had it briefly. When was that? When they lifted it for a month?
It was last summer sometime, I think it was last summer, towards the end of the summer, and then the Delta variant kind of kicked in August. And So, but I was thinking about it. I was going to say something this last Sunday, but it was basically 2 years almost to the day, because I think March 17th or something was our first online service in 2020. And so this last Sunday was March 13th. So it was almost exactly a year, or 2 years that it all kind of wiped out. But everyone's all stressed out. Everyone's anxious. Everyone's kind of dialed up to 11 about everything right now. So it's easy to not laugh. And I think just the laughter has been sucked out of our society for the last couple of years. But it's really important. And I love laughter. I love comedy. I love humor. I'm constantly working to become more humorous. I want to be a funny guy. Have wanted to all my life. At one point, I was the funny guy in college. In our public speaking class, I was actually voted most humorous. I got the award for most humorous in our class. So somebody thought I was funny somewhere along the way. It just got sucked out of me by life.
Well, I think it develops differently. I mean, definitely, obviously, like my sense of humor is much different now at, you know, 32 than it was even at 22, I think. Mm-hmm. Really embracing the dad humor, you know, the simplicity of that. And like, mm-hmm. I know people probably just always roll their eyes at the dad jokes, but there's something about, I think, those that it's not even about how kind of dumb they are, because a lot of times they are, it's really mm-hmm. a dumb thing to say,
right?
But it's just the way your brain connects it, which is what makes it so goofy, right? I mean, there's something about, and even like the quick, it's like, it's not like something that's really, really thought about. It's just kind of, it comes to your brain and then you just spout it out. And then mm-hmm. like, it's just kind of an in the moment thing, right. Which I think is what also makes it funny, yeah. because it's kind of like its own improv of right. like, look at this ridiculous thing I just combined with this other thing to make a pun.
Right. You know? And those are things we're actually going to talk about. So, there's a podcast I listen to called Hidden Brain. It's put out by NPR. A year and a half ago, they did a podcast on humor. And the person that was being interviewed is a researcher, and she asked a group of second graders who the funniest person they know is. And what do you think the answer was?
I hope it was the dad.
It was either their dad or their brother. Yeah. 29 out of 30 kids said it was either their dad or brother, you know, a male influence in their lives. And so typically men are seen as more funny than women. And, you know, we don't need to get into whole, you know, who's better or anything like that. But this ties in both with what you were just talking about dad humor. And I think, you know, I think dad jokes are an important part of our society. I think we need more dad jokes. Like, even if they make you cringe just a little bit from time to time, like a groan or a moan, it's like still. It was still something, like, that wasn't just serious.
Yeah.
So it's good.
Yeah, there's something too with the dad jokes, which I've come to appreciate them over time, you know, or as you have kids too, it's, you kind of have to find a, not that we're vulgar people in any way, but I mean, definitely how I was when I was a teenager, mm-hmm. you know, the things I would say, what I would think was funny then. Not something I can say to a child,
right?
Right. So you kind of figure out a way, like you kind of, your humor just, I think almost unintentionally just cleans up because your audience is now like, okay, well, there's only so many things I can right. say. And then you find humor in like much more simple things. Mm-hmm. And that's even, which we might get to this, I don't really know, but what I appreciate about the humor of movies from, you know, maybe like 70s, 80s, mm-hmm. even like 90s, the humor was so much different. I feel like so much more clever. It wasn't just right. spouting out, you know, swear words and absurd things mm-hmm. to get laughs. It's like that movies turned into that for me, a lot of comedy movies. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't want anything. It's not even clever at that point. Like, right. you know, you watch, you know, going back to the 90s, Sydney's a huge fan of Chris Farley. You know, he's got mm-hmm. a lot of, you know.
He was funny on a level that I don't think we've had. Really, I mean, we've got a couple guys have come close, like Steve Carell mm-hmm. and Will Ferrell. You know, they're kind of in that same ballpark, but he was just on a totally different yeah. level.
But yeah, there's, you know, the 90s when some of these guys explode, especially, you know, Chris Farley and Adam Sandler, even, which I'm a fan of some of the stuff and some not. I mean, whatever. But
me too. I like some of his.
Yeah, there's, but
Happy
there's
Gilmore was a classic I like.
Yeah, but there's just something about that humor that we've kind of left that behind mm-hmm. to just kind of more of a shock factor or whatever. And it's anyway.
Well, I just finished a book for the second time. I listened to it for the second time, and then I just bought a hard copy. It's called How to Write Funny, and he's got what he calls in there 11 funny filters, and one of the funny filters is shock, which you just said. And that's basically like if you look at, like, you know, comedy, movies, basically everything that passes as comedy today, probably 90% of it is shock. Like they just use the most shocking thing to try to and there's a reason for that, because your brain responds to that. You know, your brain one of the things that makes us laugh is what I can't remember the guy that talked about it, but I think it was David Phillips, David J.P. Phillips. He says it's a benign violation. So like something is funny. Something that is funny is a benign violation. So it's violating you or someone somehow. But then you realize it's not an actual threat. So then you laugh at it. So like if it was an actual threat, your body would respond with, you know, adrenaline and your fight or flight instinct would kick in and you'd get defensive and rigid. But when your brain determines, oh, this was somewhat offensive, but it's not threatening me, then I laugh. And that's, you know, so that's how a lot of humor works, how shock humor works, especially. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to throw out this offensive word, and I'm going to say this offensive word as many times as I possibly can, over and over and over, you know?
Yeah.
and then I'm going to put that word into some ridiculous other phrases that it doesn't go in. And by putting that really bad word in with a lot of other, you know, really kind, soft phrases, then I'm going to get an even bigger laugh because it's just more shocking to hear that word put in with a Bible verse, you know, or something like that. And so it was just like, but to me, it's the lowest common form of comedy. And I know I'm not putting down people who do it. It's just like, I feel like you have to work a lot harder to be funny with other things. And so it's easy to go to shock humor and just kind of go there and get the laugh. But like,
yeah, it's like the entry level of like comedy is how I feel about it. It's like, okay, yeah. But it's not, I feel like it doesn't stand the, it doesn't like age very well is what I guess what I'm saying. Like if you go back and watch, you know, what would be a good movie? Something like, I haven't really watched the entire thing, but the movie I thought was hilarious when I think I was in high school when this came out, was that movie Superbad. Do you remember? Mm-hmm.
All of my friends loved it, but
because
it was based on a previous, like a, it was a web thing that ran for a long time, right?
And I don't know. I didn't know much about it. I just know it was like, it's a very high school movie, you know, like almost like American Pie for like the next generation kind of thing. But, and a lot of it was just shock. Like it was just kind of insanity. And that's why we thought it was so funny. But like, I go back and watch some of that now. I'm like, this is not funny at all. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something about that humor is very much in the moment. It's like, it's right here, right now. This is funny. But you know, if we go watch in like 20 years, is it going to be funny? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that is not. That's why Sydney goes back to movies, you know, from much further back. Right. Can't remember the name of the movie, and I had never seen, I'm not really a movie guy, so I'm probably just going to embarrass myself, but
I love movies.
What we That's talk about. I can't remember the name of the movie, but Sydney was watching it and I sat and watched a few minutes with her. But it's got Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder in it.
Okay.
And so it probably was like, early 80s or something.
I'm pretty
like
sure
that.
The only movie I ever saw with Gene Wilder was Willy Wonka.
But just, it was hilarious. I was like, if I'm going to watch something funny, because I think when I think of comedy movies, especially, I just think of what's around like now. And I'm like, no, that sounds funny to me. Mm-hmm. But if I kind of go back, I'm like, yeah, these movies are funny.
Right.
Like we actually watched more recently, we watched through Austin Powers again, which I'm like, they go a little far sometimes, right. But there's like, there's a level of absolute genius mm-hmm. in there to me where I'm like, right. This is actually hilarious still, mm-hmm. you know, and it's been over 20 years at this point for some of those. So
there's parody in there. That's what I'm learning. Like one of the reasons I want to talk, because I'm learning more and more about it. So I need to talk about it more. So I learn it more deeply. So it becomes a deeper part of who I am. So Austin Powers would be a good parody because, you know, spy film parody.
Yeah.
But, you know, Steve Martin, you know, I've been, you know, looking at some of his older stuff. And it was in like the late 60s or 70s or something like that. And it's still funny. Like you watch it, like it's still pretty funny. And mm-hmm. and that's, you know, that's a lot. That's more than I've been alive that he was doing those. So that's like 50 years ago that was happening. And it's still, you know, and it holds up. But you're right. Something that's just kind of shock based humor isn't going to hold up. But, it, you know, one of the other things that you were mentioning is character based comedy. So like Will Ferrell, what we were just talking about, Tommy Boy.
Chris Farley.
Chris Farley.
Yeah.
You know, they were good at basically creating characters that were funny and then doing things as those characters that made us laugh. Right. And so that's another form of comedy, but, or of humor. So I think it's important for us as men to lead the charge when it comes to being funny. I take it as a huge compliment that my kids think I'm funny. Like we do these, Becky does these, during Valentine's month. So during the month of February, she'll put posters up on the kids' boards and write things that she appreciates about the kids and loves about the kids and so on and so forth. And then the kids put some on our door of their own choosing because they wanted to reciprocate. And so I'm not participating in any of it, right? Becky's doing all this, but they're writing, you know, loving things to me. And that's one of the things they write on there is, "You are so funny." And it's like totally, you know, makes me smile. It's like the best part of my day when I see that. And so I think we need to work hard as men to be funny, even if we're not typically funny. But you mentioned something else earlier that I think was important. And I actually have a little paragraph here about it. But in this podcast from Hidden Brain, she talks about research that was done by Gallup that found that both men and women all around the world start to lose their sense of humor around age 23. So once we get to about age 23, we start to lose our sense of humor. Now, for a contrast, she says the average four-year-old laughs 300 times a day. 300 times a day is how much a four-year-old laughs. It takes the average 40-year-old 2.5 months to laugh 300 times. And then she says, this research was done before the pandemic. So before the pandemic, before all the political stress and strain of the last 2 years, we were laughing. It was taking 2.5 times to laugh as much as a four-year-old would laugh. But she was saying it's probably because people go into the workforce and basically stop smiling, laughing, and behaving in ways that they feel authentic to themselves. And they go into work and they think that they have to either act serious or that the risks of humor in the workplace are too severe. So like you have to either be serious to be successful and look like you're actually taking your job seriously, or that if you make the wrong joke, it's going to cost you your job, because that does happen in a lot of places. So they've either decided at around age 23 and beyond that they either aren't funny or don't want to be funny, and that if they were to try to be funny or humorous, it would actually keep them from achieving their goals at work. So it's more important to make money and succeed than it is to be humorous.
Yeah, it kind of makes me think of there's just certain jobs, and maybe it's just how we handle things as a society, but like how serious work is. Or I've had jobs where, you know, if you're talking to your coworker, even if it's about something work related and it's too long, they'll be like, "You guys are talking too much, you need to stop." It's like, well, okay. So a lot of it, I think, comes from just being kind of everything, the life just being clamped out of work.
Yeah, being overmanaged.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Where it's like you feel like, okay, well, I can't talk to anybody and I can't do this, I can't do that. And like you're just like, all right, well, when I'm here, I'm just a sterile person because, mm-hmm. you know, or I can't do anything. I can't be myself. I can't do this. Where I've had other jobs in the past, which my favorite jobs I've had were jobs where they kind of just let us do our thing and trust that we're going to get it done. And we did a really good job because we had that freedom. We didn't have people breathing down our neck. We were always cracking up about something, but we were also killing it and getting mm-hmm. everything done and setting new goals and stuff for things. And it's like, yeah, that's what the point is. Right. We can interact as human beings, even though we're at work. It's like mm-hmm. we can have normal interactions with people that are now our friends because we're with them, mm-hmm. you know, every day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so much has been lost in the desire to become more productive that we actually ended up becoming less productive trying to become more productive because we thought, well, we need to work people harder all day long. It's what we need. Like, we just need people to focus more on their work. When I think there's a ton of research now that shows people actually can't focus. You know, people just can't in general focus for hours and hours and hours on end. You know, you need a break. Like, you need to get up and get the blood pumping again. You need to do something that, and when you try, like, you're actually less productive when you know, if you try to work, you know, for 4 hours straight without taking a break, you're actually less productive than if you would, you know, work for 45 minutes, take a 15 minute break, work for 45 minutes, take another 15 minute break. You'll get more work done that way than if you're just trying to, you know, stay on the job the whole time. But your boss, your employer, the company manager, the company owner is looking at it. Well, I'm paying these people. paying these people $20 an hour, not paying them $20 an hour to joke around, paying them to get the job done, right? And so then, you know, you just think, well, I guess we're not allowed to have fun here, not allowed to do anything but work, and then less work gets done. And so,
yeah, the morale, it's like letting people be themselves to a certain degree, of course. Like, I think you need some restraint in, in the workplace, because some people are a little much, you know.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having, you know, like, measurements and saying you need to get this amount of work done in a day, you know, nothing wrong with that. But if you can do that amount of work in 4 hours, then you're pay for the amount of work people are getting done, not the amount of time they're spending there.
Yeah, I was just saying, as far as like boundaries of like, yeah, you should probably not, you know, if you're, like I said, maybe a very vulgar person and that's your personality, sure, do that. But when you're at work, it's like we do need to refrain. Yeah, we need to hold back a little bit, like, and find a way to still kind of be yourself without being. I don't know. It's a really hard thing. It sounds like I'm trying to tell people to not be themselves, but that's not what I mean. But it's just knowing. You know, it's like when you're around kids. It's like, all right, well, swear all you want, but as soon as you come into my house, obviously watch your mouth, because we got children around. It's like, it's that kind of thing, right? It's just like, okay, it's just for this period of time while you're here, try and hold back a little bit, but also don't feel like you can't be yourself. You know, I don't know, it's this weird balance. I know it's in work as well too, because I think some of these rules came from stuff, more extreme situations. Like, it's almost like something extreme happens, but everybody gets punished for like the one extreme thing that happened. It's like, well, now no one can do anything because one person. It's like, well, that's not really good either. And that's part of what sucks some of the, you know, just the energy and the, like, the life out of work at certain places.
Yeah, it's interesting. Kind of a little side bunny trail here, but the word vulgar, like, Jim taught me this. It just means common. So, like, when you're using vulgar language, like, it doesn't mean dirty, it doesn't mean filthy. It means common. It's like the most common language. So, like, you know, when people say, well, you know, I'm speaking that way to express myself, you know, I want to like express who I am and really communicate who I am. Well, like, what you're communicating is that you're just a really common, ordinary person. Like, using that kind of language doesn't actually make you special. It just makes you more common, more ordinary. You know, so that kind of applies to comedy humor. Like, to go vulgar to try to be funny doesn't really make you more funny. It just makes you kind of more common, ordinary to the rest of the world. So if you want to be funny, kind of rise above that, right? Because that's what real comedy is. But, you know, I know though that I think the real reason people are vulgar, well, for one is the reaction. The other is, I just think it's just rebellion, like the rebel tendency. Like, you tell me I can't use a word, I want to use that word.
Yeah.
Like, don't tell me what I can't say, so I'm going to say what you say I can't say every time, because I want to say what I want to say.
Yeah.
And so don't tell me how to talk, right? You know, I think that's really what it is that's going on. But no. So. And now you're thinking about words, right?
Yeah, it's
But yeah, I think vulgarity is something that, I don't know, maybe it's just the way that I was raised. I've never found it funny. Like, it's just, I've never really been brought to laughter when somebody just being vulgar to try to get a laugh. It's just never been funny for me. But so I think there are a few things that we can work on our humor. First one would be laughing at our own mistakes. It's easy to point out someone else's mistake, but can you laugh at your own?
Oh, I laugh at myself. I laugh at myself quite a bit, for sure. Because for me, I know what gets me is, like, I know I do something kind of silly or whatever, but what gets me laughing is not what I just did. The fact that it's kind of weird or goofy is, like, I kind of take myself and, like, have the mental image of, like, what it would be to watch myself do that silly thing, and that's what gets me. It's like the mental, like, the image of it, like, playing it in my brain of, like, what that looked like from the outside perspective is what gets me going. And I will,
you're like a cartoon character.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I think about how goofy that just looked, and, like, so for me, yeah. And all, like, that happens to me even, like, about something I did like years ago, like if I start thinking about it, like I'll just look like a psychopath and I'll just start cracking up to myself. I'm like almost crying and people are like, what the heck's wrong with you? I'm like, sorry, I just thought about this one thing. And you're trying to explain it and it's just like, it's not funny, but I'm like,
yeah,
it's funny to me. I can't explain it.
Yeah. Those kinds of things happen to me. Like I was, you know, in college, we'd go do music at camps and we were doing music at this one camp and there was this chapel and the chapel kind of set up on a hill and all the windows looked out over the hillside and field. And that was where you walked between the cabins and, you know, and stuff like that. Well, in the middle of chapel, I can't remember, I maybe had to go get my Bible or something. So I'm walking from the chapel to the cabin. And so everyone in the chapel can see whoever's walking in that field at all times. So I'm walking through that field and these bees start swarming around my head. So I'm flailing my arms around and I'm take off running. I'm doing all these crazy things because I don't want to get stung by this bee. And then I come back and people are like pointing at me and laughing at me. Like, you all right? You all right, Lindner? Like, kind of looked like you lost your mind. Like, because all they saw, they couldn't see the bee. They just saw me out running through the field, you know, waving my hands all around, going crazy. And so I was the crazy guy that just lost it in the field one day. And so, like, looking back, like, when I think of that situation, it always makes me laugh. And then a similar thing happened a few summers ago when I mowed over a bee's nest with the riding mower and I got stung. And, you know, all Becky saw from the house was that I hopped off of the mower and just took off running as fast as I could in the other direction. And she comes outside saying, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I'm just, get back in the house. and it gives the impression like we're getting bombed or something. You know? Yeah. So kind of like somebody's attacking us. Get back in the house. I just didn't want them to get stung because all the bees were flying right around by the door. And I was still getting stung, had bees up under my glasses. So I took off running further away, you know, and then, and, you know, I got stung like 12 times, but in retrospect, now it's funny, you know, the way I looked in that moment when I just take off running, it's kind of hilarious. So it's good times. So learn to laugh at your own mistakes. This is one I'm working at. By the way, are you familiar with Charles Spurgeon?
I mean, I know the name, but I'm not like...
So, like, he's got a reputation, like, he's, like, one of the most respected preachers from, like, you know, from a couple centuries ago. And people still listen to his sermons, maybe not a couple centuries ago, but I think early 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s, have to look it up. People still, like, re-preach his sermons, read his sermons. I think there may be some audio recordings that people listen to, things like that. You know, just like, and he's like a preacher. I mean, he preaches hard. He preaches straight up truth, no pulling punches or anything. But he had a reputation of laughing. Like he would just like be in the middle of a sermon, just crack up laughing. And he got talked negatively about for doing that, for not being reverent enough and being irreverent. And saying, it's not reverent in the middle of a sermon to just crack up laughing and laugh so hard. Like, you need to be reverent. You know, you're talking about God. You're talking to God. And his response was, yeah, if only they knew how many times I held back my laughter. You know, but here, like, he's one of the most, like, revered preachers of the previous generation. And he was laughing all the time and wanted to laugh a lot more. So like we can stop taking ourselves so seriously. We can laugh a little. If Charles Spurgeon could break up, you know, laughing in the middle of something serious, we can too. Which is what the next point is learning to interject humor into tense situations. I think that can be really helpful. It can really help de-escalate a tense situation, you know, two people are getting in a fight, getting ready to, you know, tear into one another. If there's a way you can interject some kind of a joke, then that's a really helpful tool to have in your bag. It takes courage to do that, but
yeah,
it's already going bad. So is it going to go much worse? if you jump in and make a joke, you might actually put the brakes on things that are going crazy.
Yeah.
But I've been talking a lot.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm listening. I'm trying to, you know, learn a little bit here.
You have any specific mistakes where you could say, I did this and it looked funny, and then that was what, now it's funny back looking back on it?
I have to think about it. I don't know off the top of my head, but I know there are things that will pop into my, like I said, pop into my head from time to time where I just think about something I did like years ago, and just the mental image even of that, like, still will get me cracking up. But I think I'm definitely, I think part of that is I'm just really a visual, like, it's more like the watching something happen is a huge part of why I think something is funny.
So you like the comics, you like the comedians that, that do big gestures and
like, I like watching, like I prefer to watch that because you can see like their facial expressions, a huge part of it for me. But even stuff like if I'm watching something, you know, even on YouTube or whatever, it's like seeing, you know, seeing like, that's where I think we talked about, you know, air horn scares and stuff like that, like like that cracks me up just because I don't know what it is. It's like, I mean, the noise, because it's obnoxious, it's a scare, which people getting scared to a degree is hilarious to me as well, and just watching reactions, like having some sort of picture, you know, to associate with that is always funny to me.
That's
so good. That's where, you know, I don't remember too much of things I've done, but I'll think of something randomly. I'll try and remember that now, that if something comes to my brain, you see me like laughing while you're preaching and or whatever, you know, or you just see me laughing while we're playing worship or whatever. It's like, I'm probably thinking of something like that. And I just start cracking up, or I see someone out there who, like, you know, I don't know, someone like sneezes and shoots snot all over themselves or whatever. It's like, yeah, I would probably laugh at that. And I would just have to hold back a little bit, you know, just because that's just how I work, you know. So
that reminds me, this old guy Wally at our church growing up. I don't know if it was a revival or if it was just like a Wednesday night service, but like people were serious about church back, like you didn't miss church. And he came to church and he sat next to me for some reason. He usually sat in the back, but he sat in the same pew that I did. And he had this Kentucky Fried Chicken cup. And like, he was sick and he kept coughing. And then he would spit out whatever he coughed up in that cup for the whole service. So like, you just and then spit it down in the cup. And it's just like, go home. Why are you here? You know, I'm scooting down as far as I can away from trying to get up close to my mom who's sitting at the end of the row. It's like, yeah, that's just not good. Like, don't do that. But
that's a,
certain guys find that funny.
Yeah. To me, that's like, yeah, hawking like loogies into a cup to just like build up. I'm like, that's something I'm not into. But yeah. I think what, along those, I guess, lines is what something I thought of I actually did this the other day. I mean, not as extreme, not as bad as the first time I remember doing this, but I probably would have been like 14 or 15 or something like that. And we used to ride my skateboard everywhere in California. That's just how I got around. And you know, I'm sure you're familiar with the snot rocket. Are you familiar with that? Where you just plug one nostril and you just let it.
We call it the farmer blow. Yeah.
You just let her you shoot it, you know. Like a rifle out of your nose. I was doing that while riding down the street. And I don't know if it was, I don't remember if it was windy or what, or just like I had just the momentum, but I did that. And like, I had it like off to my right side and, I shot it down and it should have gone like behind me, but somehow the wind interfered and it like grabbed it and it shot it right into my shoe, like inside of my shoe. Cause it was like the early mid 2000s were the big puffy skate shoes and the giant tongues. So it's like, there was just a massive opening just poof, right in there. I'm just like, oh man. But then I couldn't help but just like, all right, that's pretty hilarious. Now I just have a giant snot in my, in my shoe. And I actually did that the other day. I went for a bike ride, last weekend, and I kind of did a similar thing. I'm like, I need to learn my lesson and not spit into the wind, because I had something kind of going on. I was just like, oh, whatever. I just spit and it hit the wind and went and just whack right all over my arm. I'm like, all right, well, I'm just trying to wipe it off while I'm riding my bike, because it just feels disgusting.
Right. Yeah.
It's just, you know, that it's not absolutely hilarious, but it's still pretty fun. It's more funny now looking back on it than it was in the moment. Cause in the moment you're like, oh, that sucks, you know, and that's about all you can do. Right. And then it's kind of funny when you think about it, but
Yeah, I tend to not do those kinds of things because it usually goes that way for me. Yeah. Like if I try to do the farmer blow thing, then it ends up all over my face or something. And it's like, it's just not worth it. I'd rather get a tissue because I just don't like having it all over me. But yeah, which third point, we need to develop the ability to laugh at our own mistakes. We need to learn to develop the ability to interject humor into tense situations. The third one, I think, we need to develop the ability to laugh at other people's jokes. Now, I'm saying this as somebody that tries to tell jokes that never get laughs, so I'm really passionate about this one. but I think for a lot of the times when we don't laugh, like we want to appear like we're sophisticated, like we're more sophisticated than the joke. So like, yeah, I know you just told a joke, but I'm smarter than your joke, so I'm not going to laugh at your joke because I don't want to appear like I'm coming down to the level of your joke. But when somebody starts laughing, usually someone else will start laughing.
Yeah, it's a chain reaction.
Yeah, and then more people laugh, and then things that maybe aren't all that funny start feeling a lot more funny. And then at the end of the day, if you laughed at something that you didn't think that was all that funny, but it kind of primed the pump for someone else to laugh at something, and then everyone in the room ends up laughing and having a good time, and then everyone leaves feeling better because they all laughed for a while. Like, okay, so it felt inauthentic, but look at what you did. Like, you helped create, you know, like an experience where people can walk away feeling good about themselves. So
yeah,
I think we need to learn to laugh at other people's jokes, even if they're not all that funny.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm decent at that because I can easily start laughing about something, and sometimes it's not even necessarily what the joke was, but I have some sort of visual thing with that, with like, yeah, the way it was delivered or like what it made me think of, which is what ends up making me laugh.
Right.
So
yeah.
But I'm just I was actually talking to a buddy of mine. We were talking the other day to where it just made me think of this. I don't know if it's entirely related, but him and I are very similar in the way that we're fairly goofy with a lot of things. Like our sense of humor is pretty just goofy and dumb. Like we think, you know, like one of the examples is we, you know, watch, there's this series called Monster Factory, which is a YouTube thing, and it's essentially it's all from video games, and these two brothers, they go into different video games where you can create your own character, but it's specifically games where they have a lot of tweakability and they make just absolute monstrosities. And that image of what they're making coupled with their commentary, it's like, you know, there's a one specifically we've watched probably 3 or 4 times, and every time we're just crying, you know, you're just like on the ground because it's so funny. But him and I were talking about this because he's had something come up with someone else where they're, you know, kind of blowing some steam off on him, saying like, oh, you're just so immature and all these things. He's like, hey, he's like, don't, he's like, be careful not to, you know, interpret my, you know, goofiness for immaturity. It's like, I just know what I, you know, it's like that doesn't mean that I'm immature just because I can be goofy. It's like, I think there's a connection there with people. It's like, I've had people say that about me too. I'm like, I don't know that I'm immature. I can definitely just let loose really easily, right? You know, and just kind of take the time to laugh about things. And it's like, I think I'm doing okay. I'm an adult. I'm surviving. I got a family and kids, and you know, I'm doing things. Like, I don't feel like I'm an absolute bum because I'm goofy. You know, right. I mean, but I don't really know. You know, maybe that's just me. But there's whatever you're saying had me think, made me think of that, because people, yeah, when they think they're too good to laugh, or they want to refrain from laughing because they feel like it brings them down somewhere. It's like, well, it's okay to, you know, come back down to reality from time to time. I mean, that's definitely a healthy thing to do, and just enjoy the simple things that might make you laugh, or that are, you know, kind of silly, because it's like, it's all here for, I think, a reason anyway.
Well, I think, you know, we for whatever reason, we perceive even comedians, we perceive them as being less mature. Like, when you think of any comedian you like, you know, Jim Gaffigan, you know, one of his things was called like Big Baby or something, like Grown Up Baby. I can't remember what it was, but, and that's kind of the character he plays, is that, you know, an immature adult. And, you know, a lot of characters just kind of come across as being, like Jimmy Fallon just kind of comes across a little bit as being childish. But when you actually listen to them talk about life when they're not doing the routine, I've been watching this. Been watching Seinfeld's comedians in cars getting coffee.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And like you hear these guys talking about the world. They talk about their comedy too, but like they just talk about the world and you listen to them. These aren't idiots.
Yeah.
Like these aren't dumb guys. I think honestly, they're probably like a level above most people. Because they're able to look at what everyone else is living in and then rise above it and then find a way to make fun of it, to make a joke and make people laugh. So I'm like, they're probably actually like Seinfeld, you know, probably like a really, really, really smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
Able to look at how things are in life and then come back down into it and make it funny for the rest of us, you know?
Definitely. I think that even goes back to, yeah, how comedians, I think, kind of were, you know, decades ago, right? It's like, it's totally approached differently. And that's where you see a kind of stand-up comedians separate themselves from, you know, comedy actors or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. There's a level, and they've had to actually kind of come up with all their own material. It's just a different thing. And yeah, like Jerry Seinfeld's, I think, a really great example of that. I've been watching actually a lot of Seinfeld it's taken me a couple months because mm-hmm. I don't watch a ton of TV, but, just such a brilliant show because it's like, even when they go into things that maybe even like sexual or, you know, I wouldn't say taboo, but you know, it's like where you're like, well, I don't know if I want my kid watching this. They don't really ever get into it. They kind of play with the idea. They kind of, the way it's written kind of makes you you know exactly what they're talking about without mm-hmm. them saying it exactly.
They imply it. Yeah.
Exactly. It's implied. And then there's a lot of just relatability to things. It's like the things that they make funny, especially mm-hmm. on Seinfeld, you know, about, you know, even just like the older things, like, you know, answering phones and, you know, call waiting and just the stupidest things that like don't really matter, but they're things that everybody usually thinks about, but they never really bring up. And mm-hmm. that's what they're kind of bringing out is like, that's why it resonates so well is because so many people resonate, you know, mm-hmm. with it because everyone understands what they're talking right. about kind of thing. But anyways, that was kind of its own trail, but it made me think of that with when you mentioned Jerry Seinfeld, mm-hmm. just because it's, there is a level of like, I don't know if it's intelligence, but there's a level of something there that I felt the same way with a lot of comedians. If you really do kind of see them off to the side and not performing, it's like, and they're actually really sharp, especially someone like Jerry Seinfeld, like mm-hmm. to write, you know, not only the stand-up comedy stuff, but whatever involvement he had, you know, in with the Seinfeld show. And all the characters, mm-hmm. it's like, these guys are, I mean, they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're not just goofy morons for mm-hmm. sure. I mean, you can definitely, I think, tell that by, it's in the, not only what the joke is, but the delivery. It's like, there's so many aspects right. to it, but
yeah.
Anyways.
That's good. So just to kind of wrap up, a few things, how to be funny. So how can you be funny? This is from an article on scienceofpeople.com. They had 7 things. I've just got 3 here. So you can go check that out if you're looking for how to be funny, scienceofpeople.com. One easy way to do it is to give the opposite answer that people are expecting. So if someone is expecting you to say yes, say no. And then they give they show a couple of video clips of Jennifer Lawrence. One was after she had hosted, can't remember, I think she filled in for Fallon or something. She was hosting a talk show, and then she goes on Colbert's show, and Colbert's saying, you know, what do you think about hosting? You know, was it harder than you thought? And her response was, no. You know? It's like, you know, and then he gets all offended by it. You know, everyone laughs. Oh, you know, and so, you know, easy way to be funny. This one I use all the time. It's called the rule of threes. And it's another interesting example how there are all these rules of threes in the universe and how like thirds is just like a normal, there's a rule of thirds with photography and that kind of thing. But if you group things in threes and then you make the third thing like out an oddball or stand out, you know, so my example is, you know, I love apples, asparagus, and aardvarks. And aardvarks is just kind of a funny word, which is another thing. So like to say the word aardvark, you know, you might get a laugh out of a kid. But then like if the first two are fruits and vegetables, you're expecting the third one to be a vegetable, right? So like I like apples, asparagus, and I can't think of another fruit or vegetable that starts with apricots. Like that'd be a normal list, right? Yeah. Those are my three. What are your three favorite fruits and vegetables that start with the letter A? Apples, asparagus, apricots. But if you say aardvarks or some other weird random thing that starts with the letter A, then you probably get a little chuckle out of that third word. So that rule of threes is there's something about the third word. Like sometimes you can go to four, but not very often. But like and it's threes and sevens, which is the same way to like, there's this thing about threes and sevens in the universe, you know, and it's probably how God designed it. But, you know, like if you're doing a list, like you either have to stop at three or you have to stop at seven.
Hmm. Makes sense. It makes you think of something. That's why I'm like smiling to myself over here. Have you ever heard of Mitch Hedberg? Have you ever heard of this guy? Mm-hmm. He's a stand-up comedian. I think he died years ago. Maybe, I don't remember exactly why, maybe drug-related or something, whatever, but it makes you think of this bit that Sydney and I always think is hilarious, and I'll probably butcher it because I don't remember exactly how he delivers it, but essentially what he's saying is, he's talking about when he goes, going somewhere to order a sandwich, right, like a deli or whatever, mm-hmm. and you know, essentially the guys asked him, like, all right, what, this is definitely a three thing from what I remember it being three. He's like, okay, cool, what kind of meat do you want on that sandwich? He's like, pastrami. What kind of cheese do you want? Cottage. You're like, all right. Kind of bread do you want? Banana. You know, it's just like, what? And the guy is like, it's just this delivery in it, and right, the reaction of the guy is just, it's so absurd. You're like, all right, okay, now it's getting weird. Okay, now it's absurd, you know, right. Like a pastrami, cottage cheese, banana bread sandwich, you know. It's just made me think of that. Always makes me smile thinking about that.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one. So there's one way on how to be funny, and we should just like make this a recurrent. We should just talk about this all the time, how to be funny, because I think it's important. We need to get serious about our humor, guys. Come on. The last one is just tell real life stories. And you and I have both done that already in this episode, but tell something that happened to you and do it to laugh at yourself. Like we talked about earlier, laugh at your own mistakes, tell a story for the purpose of making fun of yourself. You know, don't be afraid to belittle yourself a little bit, to put yourself down. And tons of comics do that, right? Tons of comics are always, you know, kind of making themselves the butt of the joke all the time. Like Jim Gaffigan, it's one of his core things. He's the butt of most jokes because he's the baby. He's the big baby. You know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, tell your own story. You got to see, you're smiling.
I'm not thinking of something specifically, but just, you know, it's just.
You start talking about laughing and comedy. You just smile and
like,
laugh. Right?
I'm definitely one of those people, it's like, even if the joke's not funny, if someone starts laughing, it's like, I will guarantee start laughing. Mm-hmm. And I might even laugh at, like, we've had moments where, you know, we'll do like a game night kind of thing. And when you get all, you know, the group of us, you know, six, seven dudes together, mm-hmm. There's always a cry laugh, you know, guaranteed to happen in the night because it's just how it goes. And it just makes me think of stuff like that where someone says something and it's not even really funny, but someone starts laughing and then their laugh makes other people laugh. Right. And like, next thing you know, it's like, I'm laughing, not at the joke, but I'm laughing at this guy's laugh. Yep. And then we're all, you know, and then I'm laughing at my own laugh because I'm laughing so hard or whatever. It's like,
and your cheeks start to hurt because you're laughing so much.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That happens at our dinner table from time to time. You know, like one of the kids will just get cracked up about something. Like a few weeks ago, Harry and Harper made some kind of joke between each other and they just cracked up and they just laughed and they were looking at each other and laughing and none of us knew what the joke was, but the rest of us just started laughing because they're all laughing. Like, this is contagious. Laughter's contagious. It's fun.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's another one, the callback. So I listened to Tommy Ryman. Have you heard of Tommy Ryman? Mm-mm. He's a clean comedian. I'm always looking for clean comedians. So And he is like legitimately funny. He was on Last Comic Standing around 2018-ish, whenever that was. And I just listened to his comedy album that came out about that same time. And I think a great comedy writer and a great performer. He's got a kind of a great character persona that he portrays when he's talking. But then he was talking about his mom and I won't spoil too much of it for you, but you know, his mom got into crystals and kind of new agey stuff and you know, then her latest thing was activating rivers. And he's like, what? What are you talking about, mom? Like, so like, I'm activating rivers. That's what I'm doing now. That's how I'm spending my time. Like, oh, cause it really kind of sounds like we probably need to put you in a home. You know, it kind of goes on this whole bit. Well, but, then he goes on, he's talking about things and goes back and tells some of his own stories and how he was a little, you know, small. He says, I weigh 126 pounds now. You know, when I was 9 years old, you know, I was like 36, and my dad decided that was a great time to take me whitewater rafting, you know. And so does this look like the kind of a frame that, you know, could stay in a boat, you know, and that kind of stuff? And then he gets bounced out of the boat, and then said, got my cardigan all wet, and you know, just a couple of funny things. And he says, I don't even think the river was activated. You know, and just says this, and he keeps doing, and that's called a callback if you don't know what that is. But like he keeps doing these callbacks to that river activation thing. I think that might even be towards how he ends the show, which is how a lot of comedians do it. It was like, that's another way to be funny. Like, and you'll do that naturally. When you're having an experience like that with a group of guys where like somebody says something funny towards the beginning of the night and then other guys will mention it, right? And reference it and try to get another laugh. And sometimes the laugh builds, sometimes it doesn't, but
yeah,
that's another technique.
Definitely.
So, all right. Well, that's our first episode on humor. If you've got some practical insight on how to be funny, let us know. But we're working on being more humorous, trying to talk about serious topics, but at the same time being humorous while we do it. So that's what we're going to be working on moving forward. Thanks for listening to this episode. www.mantheyremember.com, facebook.com/. I loved that about Conan O'Brien. You know, like instead of doing the slash, they would put up a picture of slash.
Oh, yeah.
For the slash, you know, so, but facebook.com/mantheyremember. You can't do that on an audio podcast, though. You can't like put in a picture of a,
yes,
of a person to do instead of
you can just say imagine slash right now.
Yeah. But facebook.com/mantheyremember. And we do really deeply appreciate it when you leave reviews and ratings on the Apple Podcast app. But the greatest compliment of all that you can give us is telling someone about the podcast and encouraging them to listen. Until next time, have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Man They Remember podcast. You can find us online at www.mantheyremember.com, facebook.com/mantheyremember, and instagram.com/mantheyremember. Thanks for leaving a review and your rating on Apple Podcast, and most importantly, thanks for sharing this podcast with your friends.